Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And today on Live Talk, we're discussing the life and legacy of the late U.S. President Jimmy Carter, who passed away Sunday at the age of 100. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter has died at the age of 100. VOA's Ken Farabao extensively covered the former president's life and post-presidential career, promoting global health and democracy, and has more on the legacy of the 39th president of the United States.
I, Jimmy Carter, do solemnly swear.
When Jimmy Carter took the oath of office on January 20th, 1977, he promised a government as good as its people.
There can be no nobler nor more ambitious task for America to undertake on this day of a new beginning than to help shape a just and peaceful world.
A world he continued to shape beyond his single term in the White House, becoming a Nobel Peace Prize laureate, heading the global nonprofit, the Carter Center, whose mission is waging peace, fighting disease, and building hope.
I look upon the Carter Center work as an extension of what I try to do as president.
Carter was born in Plains, Georgia in 1924. He graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1946, serving as a submarine officer before returning to Plains in 1953 to run the family farm in the wake of his father's death. Carter entered politics during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, serving two terms as a Georgia legislator before becoming the state's governor in 1971.
I say to you quite frankly that the time for racial discrimination is over.
Carter went from being an unknown Southern governor in 1971 to the winning presidential candidate in 1976, narrowly defeating Republican Gerald Ford. Mediating the 1979 Camp David Accords and the eventual peace treaty between Egypt and Israel was the pinnacle of Carter's presidency.
There had been four wars between Arabs and Israelis in the previous 25 years, with the Egyptians in the leadership, supported by the Soviet Union. They were the only country that could really challenge Israel militarily.
Carter also negotiated a treaty returning control of the Panama Canal to Panama and established full diplomatic ties with the People's Republic of China. But the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran would change the course of his presidency. Protests led by Shiite clerics toppled the U.S.-backed Shah, who fled the country. Militants later stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran, taking 66 Americans hostage. In late November of that year, 13 hostages were released. In April 1980, Carter authorized a military operation to free the remaining hostages. It failed, and 8 U.S. service members died. Carter also faced challenges at home. Inflation and rising unemployment hobbled the economy, contributing to his 1980 election defeat to Republican Ronald Reagan. On January 20, 1981, Reagan's inauguration day, Iran finally freed the American hostages. Carter, defeated and depressed, returned to Plains to plan his presidential library.
I envisioned to be a tiny thing where I would have an office and some nice buildings in Atlanta.
It became much more. A well-known global nonprofit, the Carter Center has monitored over 100 elections and mediated disputes ranging from a nuclear standoff with North Korea in 1994 to a peace agreement between Uganda and Sudan. The center also promotes health and fights illness in the poorest parts of the planet. Eradicating guinea worm disease has been a primary goal.
There's only been one disease in the history of humankind ever eradicated, and that was smallpox. More than 30 years ago. So guinea worm is going to soon be the second disease in history to be wiped off the face of the earth.
Carter's work helping humanity led to Oslo, Norway in 2002, where he accepted the Nobel Peace Prize.
When I won the Nobel Peace Prize, for instance, it was because of the work of the Carter Center. So I would be perfectly satisfied to have a legacy based on peace and human rights. I mean, who would?
Carter led an active life into his 90s, surviving brain cancer in 2015. But declining health and the 2020 global coronavirus pandemic kept him confined to his hometown of Plains in his final years. In one of his last public media appearances, Carter shared with VOA his hopes for the future.
I would like to see the United States in the future strive to be the number one champion in the world of peace and human rights and environmental equality. And I would say treating everybody equal. If we could do that, we'd have a real superpower in a country that I love very much.
Carter lived the longest of any occupant of the White House, and his 76-year marriage to wife Rosalynn is the longest of any president and first lady. Kane Farbaugh, VOA News, Plains, Georgia.
And for 17 years, VOA correspondent Kane Farbaugh has covered the life and legacy of Jimmy Carter, developing a close friendship with America's 39th president. He shares his personal reflections about the late world leader and influential humanitarian.
So start on that camera.
When we first met in 2006, during one of his book tours, I had not yet interviewed a former president. I was nervous. Jimmy Carter, on the other hand...
It's not also not the first time you've probably done this.
No, it's not the first time.
Over the course of nearly two decades and dozens of one-on-one interviews, Carter became more than just the subject of my news reports. He became a friend to me and my family, and even spent time with my children, including my eldest son, Lucas.
I want to shake hands with you. Your father's one of my best friends. You like him too? Is he a good father or not?
My desire to better understand the 39th president's life and legacy brought me to events and symposiums around the country organized by the Carter Center, his global nonprofit organization. I came to know a punctual man more interested in concrete results than the optics or politics surrounding them, a supremely humble and patient citizen of the world who made time for everyone who sought him out.
All right, everybody look this way. Good.
I also collected and read books, those he wrote, and those written about him. And I often visited Plains, Georgia, to see him teach Sunday school.
Since we are given this free gift of God, we should be what? Joyful and happy and thankful, right?
And participated in events hosted in his hometown.
When I teach, Plains prospers.
Initially, I didn't know anyone in Plains except the former president and his wife, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. But I was welcomed like a neighbor by those close to him, and through the years, forged friendships that endure today.
Oh, dear Kane!
You see what my family was like. Aren't you all amazed that I became president?
My friendship with Carter led to hosting panel discussions and participating in town hall meetings, personal dinners, fishing trips, and book signings across the country.
I saw the clip about releasing the sea turtles. That must have been exciting, right?
For our grandchildren, yeah. Our great-grandchildren.
But it was during our semi-regular exclusive interviews that covered everything from neglected tropical diseases to Mideast peace.
Leaving the White House seems to have been the best thing that could have happened to you, really.
I didn't think so at the time, but it's turned out to be.
That I came to understand what was important to Carter and why.
You bring a voice and awareness to people that otherwise wouldn't have a voice in the
United States. That's an important part of the Carter Center is to bring some publicity to the plight of people that may otherwise be ignored.
Some might think my friendship with Carter would prevent me from reporting on him objectively. However, I did not avoid difficult or controversial topics with him.
Their contention is that just by the fact that you visit with Hamas provides legitimacy to the way that they behave and they act.
You know, first of all, my visit didn't legitimize or delegitimize anybody.
Our friendship also didn't prevent me from covering Carter's difficult moments, such as his 2015 announcement he was dealing with life-threatening cancer.
President Carter, Kane Farbaugh with Voice of America.
Okay.
I wanted to ask, what has been the most difficult part about the news for you?
The liver surgery was fairly extensive. They removed about one-tenth of my liver, I understand.
President Carter survived his battle with cancer, but suffered further health setbacks. Despite falling and fracturing his hip in 2019, Carter did not cancel our interview ahead of his 95th birthday.
Hi, Gabe.
Good morning, President Carter. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's so good to see you.
You look snazzy this morning.
Well, not as good as you.
In 2011, President Carter's son Jeff wrote a book documenting the ancestry of his parents. While reading it, I discovered I had an even stronger connection to President Carter. We are related through my 11th great-grandparents, some of the early settlers of Rhode Island, and Jimmy Carter was my ninth cousin, three times removed. But beyond an ancestral connection, while he is remembered as a peanut farmer, submariner, governor, artist, fisherman, Nobel Peace Prize recipient, carpenter, global humanitarian, and...
He's often referred to as the greatest ex-president.
Yeah, and I don't like that. He was a great president. People are finding it out.
Jimmy Carter will always be, to me, the greatest man I have ever met and will ever have the good fortune to call my friend.
Thanks for giving us so much time. And
it's a pleasure.
It's always great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Kenny. Thank you.
We always welcome the chance to talk to you, President Carter.
I always like to be with you. You have some very good questions, and I enjoy being with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining us at the Voice of America.
It's always good to be with you.
It's always good to be with you, too, President Carter.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, Kane. Back to our main topic, discussing the life and legacy of the late U.S. President Jimmy Carter and the work he did in Africa, including Zimbabwe, to promote global health and democracy after his presidency. On July 29, 2023, the Carter Center deployed an international election observer mission to Zimbabwe to observe Zimbabwe's general elections. In February this year, the center issued its final report on Zimbabwe's elections that points out serious problems with the electoral process and concluded that the overall electoral process was flawed and did not meet regional and international commitments or the democratic aspirations of the Zimbabweans. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Jimmy Carter was a complex figure that made a journey from a peanut farmer to the White House. He was a testament to the strong values, unwavering commitment to public service, and unshakable optimism. As we delve into his life and legacy, we are joined by Dr. Chipo Dendere, a teaching professor at Wesley College in Boston. We also have political analyst and youth advocate, Mr. Clayton Gonese, and programs director of the Zimbabwe Network of Social Justice, Mr. Tendai Mbofana. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, my sister.
We'll start off with you, Dr. Dendere. What would you say about the life and legacy of the late U.S. President Jimmy Carter?
Hi, thank you, Marvelous. I think Jimmy Carter was obviously one of the best U.S. presidents that we experienced. And what made him so different from other leaders, I think, is that he lacked the big ego that often comes with being a politician. He was kind. He was hardworking. He was a humanitarian. He's the president who spent the most years in retirement, 43 years total. And during that time, you talked about his work with the Carter Center, where the objective was to ensure that elections around the world were free and fair. And he also did a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity, which has completely changed the trajectory of many people's lives by providing them with decent housing.
Thank you so much. I'll come back to you. Mr. Mbofana, you're on the ground there in Zimbabwe. How are people reacting to the death of Mr. Carter?
Thank you so much, Mavi. From what I've gathered so far, you know, with issues that the devil in Zimbabwe and Zimbabweans. I don't think the CACA issue is particularly making headlines, to be honest. It's not really a topical issue. But for those who do follow international news, global news, it is something that caught our attention, because you would know that he played a very crucial role in the independence that we attained in 1980. So for those of us who are in the know, would know that this man is a giant. Before he came to be the U.S. president in 1977, the U.S. policy towards Rhodesia at that time was not very firm against the colonial regime, although the Rhodesian government had been declared illegal by the United Nations after the unilateral declaration of independence in 1965. But you'd find that the United States was quite reluctant in ensuring that those sanctions were enforced against Rhodesia. But with the coming of CACA in 1977, you find that the United States sort of changed its outlook, especially towards Africa and Rhodesia in particular. The CACA administration did enforce the trade embargo, the sanctions against Rhodesia, and that played a major role in forcing the Ian Smith regime to come to the negotiating table. Of course, there was also the Margaret Thatcher angle from Britain, and also the South Africans from South Africa, the apartheid South Africa, which was also threatening to cut off supplies, so such as oil, petroleum, and other goods to Rhodesia. So all these things played together to influence Ian Smith to finally agree to go and sit down at Lancaster House, where they negotiated the independence that we finally attained in 1980. So you find that Jimmy Carter played a very important role in what became modern-day Zimbabwe. Arguably, the United States being the superpower that it was then and that it is still today, if Jimmy Carter had not come on board and the United States continued with its reluctancy to take firm action against Rhodesia, maybe the independence that we know today would have been delayed or might not have even happened at all. So we do owe people like Jimmy Carter a lot for the independence that we attained in 1980. So for those on the ground in Zimbabwe who might not know some of these nuances and some of these facts, it would be very important for them to know that the liberation of Zimbabwe, unlike what we are constantly fed here in Zimbabwe, the propaganda that it was only a Zanla thing and so forth, they fought, they defeated the British and so forth in the bush, the truth is the Zanla forces and Zipra never defeated the British, because they were not fighting the British. They were fighting the Rhodesians. The British, on the other hand, were the ones that had imposed sanctions on Rhodesia because of the UDI, but the real force that came on board that actually made Smith sit down with the nationalist movement with people like Jimmy Carter, who put pressure on Ian Smith.
Mm-hmm. Asi mungati vanhu vanoziva here mabasa akabatwa navakata panyaya iyo yekurwira nyaya yeutongi wechechetere muZimbabwe.
Chinonesa mavhinde chekuti history yemuZimbabwe kana uchiiterera ichitaurwa nevanhu vemuhurumende yemuZimbabwe kana makarikulamu chaiwo anoita kuchikora, ihistory yakaita kubikwa. Yakaita kubikwa-bikwa, zvimwe zvichibviswa, zvimwe zvichikwandirirwa, zvimwe zvichidii, zvekuti vana vedu kana vanhu vakuru chaavatozivi history chaichai yeZimbabwe. Sekutaura kwanaita panaitaura nechingezi, history yatinoudzwa isusu muZimbabwe ndeyekuti nyika ino yakarwirwa kunyanyanyana neZanla neparutiwo Zipra, ndokuti Zipra inotoitwa senge hapana zvayakaita, iye yakatoita basa guru stereki pakurwira nyika ino. Asi vanoita senge vakarwa hondo, ndo vakakunda varungu, vanototi vakakunda maBritish. Saka munotozoona kuti vanhu vemuZimbabwe havazozivi chokwadi chakaitika, kuti Zanla chai hapana hondo yakahwina, hapana. Ndosaka vachichema nezvenyadzonya, vanochema kuti chimoyo, vanochema kuti mboroma, kungorohwa chete vati bora kasho vachingobhodwa kuti zvino kana muri makadifita Smith battle imwe chete zvaya makahwina ndeipi tibotiudzai munongotema zvokubhombewa chete ko imwe tibotiudzai imwe yamakahwira tii munozva takarova mabhunu pakati takarova mabhunu pakati takarova mabhunu pakati tichihwina hapana saka vakazovadya seiko vana Smith vacho kuti vazoenda kulancaster house kana ivo vezanda varivo vaingobhombewa chete pasina pavanobhotudzwa pavaihwina chokwadi ndechekuti chakaita kuti Zimbabwe pazoita independence nevanhu vakaita sana Jimmy Carter America is a superpower. KuBritain wokwakaya na Margaret Thatcher ndo vakakwanisa kuisa pressure yakaomarara semasuperpower vakaisa pressure pana vanhu vakaita saSmith Smith ndo paakazobvuma kuti aende kunotaura nemanankomo nanamugabe kuLancaster House saka izvozvo zvechokwadi ichocho hachiudzwi vanhu hachitaurwi ndo chokwadi chatakuto nekushayika kwaita akata ndo zvinhu zvinofanira kudzidziswa mazimbabwe nekuti independence yakanyatsouya sei muzimbabwe vanhu haina bhobhira yakundira varungu kana kuti mabhunu mabhunu acho akaita sana kata vavakana magreteta nana vosta kusouth africa ndo vakatoita kuti independence iuye muno muzimbabwe nekuti vakazonyatsobata Smith pakunyatsomubata pahuro kuti tsvi kuti aiwa iwe titaura ndigara pasi utaure nevanhu ava ndo zvakazoita kuti independence uye muzimbabwe ndo chokwadi tinofanirwa kuve tichidzidzisa vana vezimbabwe kuti vanyatsonzwisisa history yedu chaicho chaicho.
Thank you so much. Over to you, Mr. Gonese. You are a youth advocate yourself. What's your take on the life and legacy of the late president of the U.S., Mr. Carter?
All right. The life of the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, is an inspiration to the youth. Because, you know, former president Jimmy Carter, despite the fact that he received, you know, the worst approval rating during his presidency, you are going to see that after exiting the presidency, he became one of the greatest advocates for peace. He became one of the greatest humanitarians. So you will see that for his efforts in trying to bring about peace, equality, and fraternity in a world that is often overshadowed by darkness, wars, and other vices, we can see that he is an inspiration to the youth.
Thank you so much. Coming back to you, Dr. Dendere, I saw on your Facebook profile you had pictures with the late president. Tell us a little bit about that. What was it like meeting with him, and what was that occasion?
Yes, so when I was a junior in college, for our listeners, I came to university in the United States. So during my third year, many of us would take what we call internships, where you work with an organization. And I was lucky enough to be selected to work at the Carter, Center, the Presidential Library, the institution. And while I was there, I did work with their team working on Palestine. And as I've been reminiscing about that time, my first day at the Carter Center, in fact, much of his leadership had just quit because his book, Peace Not Apartheid, had come out. You will have known that Jimmy Carter had very strong views on the Israel-Palestinian situation. He called what is happening in Palestine apartheid, and that is something that he stood with. He really did believe that the rights of Palestinians were being violated by the apartheid system. I also got to work on Sierra Leonean elections during that time. Those 2007 elections, preparing the observation team that would then travel to Sierra Leone. And after my internship, I stayed in touch with the Carter Center. In 2017, I was invited to join the president and his donors for one of their retreats where I gave remarks on the impact of the Carter Center in my life and how working for President Carter had shaped the trajectory of my career. To me, being interested in understanding more how democracy works on the continent or how it's not working. And I distinctly remember during my time with him, I was able to have conversations about Robert Mugabe's visit to the White House because President Carter was one of the first world leaders to invite Robert Mugabe abroad after we gained independence. And he shared with me that at the time, they had really believed that Zimbabwe had taken a turn for the best and that there was quite a strong belief that Zimbabwe would do well. So in the 1980s, Jimmy Carter and others had, you know, strong hopes that Zimbabwe could push forward and become a democratic state. And like many others, he was disappointed by the turn of events in our country. The Carter Center was one of the organizations that would get kicked out during the observation mission, I believe, in 2002. So he kept a strong an eye on what was happening in Zimbabwe during his time and when he was still doing much better.
Thank you so much. Coming back to you, Mr. Mbofana, you just heard what Dr. Dendere has just said. Can you also just chip in there on your views as we move forward?
Yes, thank you so much, Mami. Moving forward, I would really want us as Zimbabweans to embrace people who have shown that they have a genuine interest for the people of Zimbabwe. One of those people is undeniably Jimmy Carter. It's already been alluded to after even independence that I talked at length about, with the establishment of the Carter Center. They've been at the forefront of advocating for democracy, for the rule of law, for the respect of human rights in African countries, not just Zimbabwe, but throughout the world, in fact, and the continent. So here in Zimbabwe, unlike what we've been made to believe that anyone who holds our government to account, even with the election, the observer mission, the Carter Center observing our elections and indicting them for falling short of regional and international guidelines or democratic elections, it doesn't mean that they hate us. We should do away with that propaganda that anyone who holds this Zimbabwe government to account is the enemy of the people of Zimbabwe. No, the person who holds the government of Zimbabwe to account is a friend of the people of Zimbabwe, because they want to see those ideals of the liberation struggle that thousands of people perished for, that people like Jimmy Carter worked so hard. Remember, when he came in and decided to support the independence of Zimbabwe, that didn't go well with quite a huge section of American population. That could have even played a part in his one term as the United States president. I know there were other issues, the economy and so forth, but the very fact that Jimmy Carter was bold enough to support Zimbabwe's independence was not a very popular move within America itself. So this is someone who put out his neck out there to risk for the people of Zimbabwe, to risk his own popularity back home, so that the black people of this country could finally enjoy their independence, democracy, equitable distribution of resources and everything. So when we see the Carter Center coming in today and saying elections in Zimbabwe were not free and fair, it is because Jimmy Carter, at the core of his heart, wanted the people of Zimbabwe to enjoy the fruits of their independence. So he is a friend of Zimbabwe, and we have to always remember that and to give him that. Let's honor him. Let's give him that respect. The real heroes of this country and our independence, more than some of these people as a national heroes. So when we look at the history of our country, we shouldn't put everything in a political sense, which is just this land. And anyone, Murungu, British or American, is an enemy. There are people who really sacrificed a lot to push for this country's independence, despite the fact that we are not really enjoying our independence, but we have it. And people like Jimmy Carter played a very pivotal role, and they should be honored for that.
Thank you so much. We were hearing there from Mr. Mbofana, but we did try to also get in touch with ZANU-PF to hear their views on the issue, but we're unsuccessful. At this point, we'd like to thank Dr. Chipo Dendere, the teaching professor at Wesley College in Boston, and also thanks to Mr. Clayton Gonese for being on our program. And last but not least, thanks to Mr. Tendai Mbofana, the program's director of the Zimbabwe Network of Social Justice. And that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Nhlanganya Huye.